eyes opened across the country when the city of Coos Bay moved to privatize its wastewater treatment plant. But what a difference an election can make. This week, shovels finally hit the ground on a publicly owned and operated facility. Andrew Sheeler is a reporter for the World newspaper. His stories kept us glued to the seat. And Andrew joins us now to flesh out one last chapter, we think, of the city's sewage saga. Hi, Andrew.
Hi, how are you doing?
Doing well this morning. Wow, we followed your stories about the wastewater treatment plant for quite some time now, and it's been a little hard to keep up with the twists and turns here. Could you recap what has happened? The city needs to replace an aging plant, plant number two. And,
right.
Was this a straightforward solution for many from the beginning?
No, not in the slightest. So this is a more than a decade-old saga that I kind of just got in on the tail end on, but admittedly, the tail end is where it really got most exciting.
Mm-hmm.
So for the last 2 years, there's been an effort by a local businessman to offer a couple of different solutions, but the end result essentially was that he wanted private ownership of the wastewater treatment plants for Coos Bay, with the argument being that private business is more efficient and that he could produce a plant, or he could create a plant that would be capable of producing higher quality biosolids, which would thus improve the health of the bay. And this really picked up steam earlier this year in June, when the then majority of the city council voted to essentially put a stop to the existing plan, which was to build a plant that definitely met standards according to both the EPA and DEQ, but a cheaper alternative. It's called a sequencing batch reactor plant. And that plant was funded through low-interest state loan funds and approved by DEQ, Oregon Department of Environmental Quality. But that plan kind of came screeching to a halt in June while they explored this privatization. You know, from there, we went through a pair of San Francisco attorneys who essentially did a efficiency study and looked at different options, and they found that while privatizing could be successful, that the particular option that the majority of the council was looking at, which was private ownership as opposed to just private maintenance and management, was not the most attractive option. But that didn't deter the majority. They continued on. And in the, I believe it was August, they voted to create a request for proposals to send out to bid for a privatized plant. Now, these documents are typically pretty mammoth in size, often, you know, 100-plus pages, very technical details. This is the sort of thing that an engineer would really dig into. But that's not what the city sent out in this case. In this case, they sent out a single-page document with just 8 points that the plant had to meet. And that's what got sent out. It was advertised, and there was maybe surprise, surprise, maybe not surprising for some people, there was one bidder. That bidder was DB Western, which was the company that had kind of all along been pushing to get private ownership. And
there were some questions, too, about how they made that push in terms of relationships with the councilors who supported privatization.
Right. Well, and there's evidence to show that DB Western had a pretty strong hand in drafting that RFP and essentially giving it to the council to pass as written by employees of DB Western. So we had a DB Western drafted RFP sent out, to which there was one response from DB Western. And, you know, because things just couldn't, you know, stay that interesting, they had to get more interesting. At the end of September, one member of the majority, a councilor by the name of Tom Leahy, resigned very suddenly.
So the majority collapsed.
Exactly. He said that it had just been too contentious. He couldn't take it anymore. The meetings had been getting extremely tense. There was shouting. There was one instance where a person was politely escorted from chambers by a police officer, but escorted nonetheless. It was getting tense, and he decided he'd had enough. And with that, like you said, the majority collapsed. We had a 3-3 split. And not only could they not agree on how to proceed with the plant, they couldn't agree on how to proceed with filling that seat. You know, obviously neither side wanted to give the other a fourth vote that would, you know, be detrimental to their particular cause.
I see. So, if you're just joining us, I want to catch folks up here. We're talking with Andrew Sheeler about the wastewater treatment plant saga in Coos Bay. It is the largest project in city history. Finally coming to a head here, Andrew, you were just saying that once a councillor in the majority voting to pursue privatization of the plant stepped down, it left an impasse. I want to fast forward a bit to the November election. How many council seats were up for a vote in November?
There were, so every 2 years there are three seats open, but because there was that fourth seat that was vacant, that was not one of the seats that was up for election, there was kind of a recognition that what they would probably do would be to choose the fourth highest vote getter, which is exactly what happened. And this was an extremely contested election. We had one councillor decide not to run for re-election to a council seat, so that he could run for mayor instead. That was Councillor Mark Daly, who's kind of the champion of the privatization movement. And then we had the incumbent running, Crystal Shoji, and then a local, very prominent businessman by the name of Joe Benetti. He owns a restaurant here, and he's actually a former mayor. And so we had a three-way mayor's race, and then eight candidates file for the city council, eight candidates for three or four seats, depending on how you look at it.
Wow.
Very contested race, and come election day, we did see a new mayor get chosen, but it was Joe Benetti, and Benetti had been pretty vocal throughout the latter part of the campaign that he favored the Oregon DEQ plan, with the idea being that he wasn't necessarily against privatization so much as this was the 11th hour, and the city just couldn't afford to take on Oregon DEQ.
With just a couple minutes remaining, let's talk about that Oregon Department of Environmental Quality's role in all of this. The city of Coos Bay faced some pretty serious daily fines for not taking steps towards getting a updated wastewater treatment plant. Are they still facing fines, or were any fines actually levied?
No fines have been levied. Right now, the city is existing kind of in a weird state because this summer, DEQ changed because of the council decision, DEQ changed the terms to increase the severity of the fines it's called an MAO, Mutual Agreement and Order. But the city's disputing that. That's going to go before a judge early next year. So right now, it's in limbo. But even though the council voted unanimously, I might add, to approve the DEQ plan and get things going along back the way they should have been, DEQ, a representative from DEQ, told the city council at that meeting that essentially DEQ has given the city every chance to get along with this, and they are not going to look kindly on any delays. It's very possible the city could still end up eating some fines from this. That's yet to be determined, but it's still, even though the city is now proceeding as DEQ has requested, there could still be consequences.
All right, Andrew Sheeler, last question here. Do you have a handle of how much money was spent investigating or probing the idea of privatization since that divisive vote last June?
Oh, lots. Let's see here.
Lots.
The city spent $115,000 just on that San Francisco law firm that was hired to investigate the viability of it. And then the cost of advertising that RFP. There were some other things that were sent out to bid that ended related to the project that ended up not going through because council changed direction. I couldn't put a total price tag on it, but it's at least six figures.
Wow. It sounds like well over $150,000 there. And we're back where we started from. Andrew Sheeler, reporter and digital editor for the Coos Bay World, thank you so much for keeping us informed about what's going on in your part of our region. And best of luck to you in your reporting. Thanks for sharing it.
Thank you very much.